podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
LFC Day Trippers, brought to you by bookmakers.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Fatback 4 on the LFC Day Trippers. I'm the host tonight, Keith, as Gav is having a well-earned break. The hardest working man in rock and roll. He gets a break every now and then, and I think he timed it well, because I think between the three of us, we're all reaching the end of our tether with these red shirts, and we're going to lay into them tonight after another stinker. I'm usually very positive. I'm going to be a little bit positive. I'm only messing. But I'm the host, as I said, Keith. I'm joined tonight by Emma and by Sean. You lads, how are yous?
I think that sums it up.
I think we're all in that boat. So before we get started, lads, this show, as you might have heard in the intro there, it's brought to you by bookmakers.com. Bookmakers.com, if you gamble, have a look at them, gamble responsibly. We don't encourage, you know, if you don't gamble, don't do it. But their website is a lot more than just betting. It's actually a lot of good statistical stuff, good information. Have a look, get on there. They do shows as well. Gav is doing a show with them as well every week. Get on and give them a follow. Great lads over there, and we're delighted to be teaming up with them for the rest of the season. So give them a look, see what you think of them. And as I say, if you're not a gambler, that's fine, but get over, they have a lot of other stuff there that doesn't involve betting. Shawnee, Liverpool, Wolves, we're still in the FA Cup. What do you make of yesterday? No, do you know, we won't go there yet. We'll start off. The team news came out. What did you make of the team when it came out?
There's not much they can do at the moment with injuries. So I think just like the core group starting all the time. I'm surprised you didn't play Kelleher, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I expected him to see him in there, but there's not much he can do in the way it changes at the moment. I thought Gakpo would start based on what he'd said. So, yeah, pretty much the same 11 that I thought he'd go with, because there hasn't been much chopping and changing this season. And I can understand why, because when you're looking at the bench most weeks now, there's not really a lot on there, apart from a couple of talented youngsters who are coming through, the likes of Ben Doak and Bajetji. But like, yeah, I to be honest with you, Keith, like, I'm not being funny. Like, people might say, what are you doing wasting your time then talking an hour and a half on a Sunday? But it's like, it'd be a good question if you ask me, but I'd be the type of fucker who'll be refreshing my phone at 5:59. I said, we're an hour waiting for the team to come out. But can't be fucking asked. Like,
yeah,
it's just, it gets worse. And I was at a funeral yesterday watching that game. And I was just like,
Can it get any worse?
Do I really give a bollocks? Like, I was delighted for Darwin, but I'm thinking to myself, do I really give a bollocks? Because it just looks like to me, we're out of ideas and we're out of energy, and powers that be are doing nothing to rectify this, really. And that might seem a little bit more, that might seem like extreme, but I don't know. It's just, there's been so many performances this season, like last night, that it's just kind of dejection, sort of. Like, this isn't what I associate with Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool since he came in, even at the start. Look, we've had seasons where there was plenty of injuries and stuff, and we do have injuries, no doubt about it, but It does look like, if I'm being honest, the end of the road for Liverpool as we know it. And when you want to be a top team who challenge year in, year out, you kind of need to just keep it tipping over with. You'd never really need major surgery. You just need to keep adding and then subtracting when you can and just being smart. But to me, like, this team now looks to me like it needs major investment. Major investment, because I think it's unfair on the players who have done so much for this club. I'm looking at that 22, 23-man squad, and obviously there's been a few lads who have come in, like Darwin and Gakpo and Jota, but from them aside, looking at the, none of them really owes anything, to be honest with you. They've done so much in a Liverpool short that I'm eternally grateful for, but they need fucking help. They're not physically able. I think emotionally as well, they look a little bit exhausted as well. The only one who's kind of been at it the last couple of weeks has been Trent. I think that you could say we are looking at him going, yeah, he looks like he's performing at the usual levels, but fuck me. We're going to get into the game, but my God. Like, it's just, Liverpool are a tough watch at the moment. They really are. It's a bit of a fucking chore. And that might sound, what's the word I'm looking for? A little bit sort of entitled or whatever, but it is. It's a bit of a fucking chore. I've come used to it operating at a high level, and you can take dropping points here and losing games there. You can take it, but just when there's no, like, go or fight in them.
No effort.
Yeah, no effort. You're kind of like, oh, what the fuck? Like, why am I bothered here? And that's just how I feel. Dejection would be one word for you.
I'd be the same. We talked in WhatsApp groups and Telegrams about what the lineup might be, and I didn't think he'd go as strong as he did. If I'm being perfectly honest, I thought he would maybe have a Tsimikas in, or I didn't think he'd have the three in midfield in. I thought he would start Gakpo. I had a feeling that Phillips might even start, given that Van Dijk is injured, and he'd want to maybe protect the three that we actually have, and maybe even a Gomez instead of a Phillips. But I didn't think he'd go Matip and Konate. And then when the team is released, you're kind of thinking, well, hang on, we're actually probably going to go for this. And then the match starts, and they went for it twice, and they scored twice. And that's the only times that they ever really went for it during the game. And I know we're going to get into the game. But I agree with what Sean is saying there, that they don't owe us anything, but they owe us to try. And sometimes, and we've been talking about this now for the last 6 or 7 months, like, the minimum expectation is to try. And sometimes it looks like some of them aren't actually trying. Whether that is down to tiredness, or I think Dylan says it there, if you're standing still, you're out of the race. Like, we're trying the same things over and over and over again with the same people over and over and over again. And we've gone back to being Liverpool like we were before Klopp. Show up for big games. And there's two games that we probably showed up for this season. Man City in the Charity Shield, or Community Shield, Man City in the league. And we looked unbelievable. And we've not looked anywhere near that in any of the other games. It's draining. When we came on before we went live, it was like there was about three words said between the three of us. It was just like, yeah. Look, we'll get into the game, but it's disappointing. Kind of ruined your weekend.
It does. At least it was a Saturday night. It wasn't a Friday or a Saturday morning this time. But look, all joking aside, similar to you, Emma, I was sort of expecting maybe one or two changes. Think it may be the likes of Gomez and maybe I wasn't expecting Gakpo to start, even though the comments were leading towards that. I thought he might have brought him in. But when I seen the team, I was looking at it and I'm like, right, it's fairly strong. The midfield is solid. They're solid professionals. They know what they're doing. I expect a certain level out of this. And then the rest of the team is strong. Sean, you touched on Kelleher not getting a game. To me, it looks like he's done. He's dusted now at Liverpool. Yeah, he's gone. He won't get another game. He's gone. He's getting sold in the summer. He won't play for Liverpool unless Alisson gets injured. Do you know what I mean? And it's sad. Do you know what I mean? But he's 24 years old, and the talking seems to be that he needs to play regular football. And the fact that he's not getting these FA Cup games, I can't see him featuring again. And it's a shame because he's been excellent for us. But Alisson gets the start. Strong back four. I agree with Sean. I think Trent has looked good over the last few weeks. Robertson, Konate, Matip, you expect a certain level of solidity there. The midfield, as I touched on, you expect a certain level of, I'd say, effort out of that midfield. Whether they have the legs or not, I expect a bit of effort. And then the front three looked strong. We don't know. Gakpo's an unknown quantity, but you're looking at that team and you're thinking, oh, it does enough there. And then you look at the Wolves team and they're resting players and you're thinking, oh, a home game against Wolves, cup game, 8 o'clock Saturday night at Anfield, let's do it. And just never got going. It never got going. So we get into the match, lads, and it starts off and you know, Liverpool were good at the start and they're trying to, you know, go at Wolves and make things happen. But there was a warning sign early when, was it Matip plays a loosey-goosey off Guedes and they're nearly getting in. And Wolves are just pressing and it was a sign of sloppiness from Liverpool. And I'm like, Jesus, if anything, you want to see them not doing that. But you want them to be on it and to be trying to walk and pay attention to it. But we started off sloppy and Alisson didn't look too great at the start. So, Sean, I'm going to come to you. Like, first things first. Alisson, what do we make of that? 26 minutes.
Do you know what I've noticed? Like, because I'm a sucker for this, so I do watch games back regardless of results. Because I think when you're watching games in the... in the heat of it, you can be lost kind of in the motion. But if you look at the Brentford game, even the Villa game, look at the goals you've conceded of, like, we're literally getting two or three chances to clear that line, and we're not doing it. And it's kind of, it's fucking Keystone Cop stuff at the back where it's just pure panic. And if you look at the goal, the ball drops, we go to clear it, it just gets sliced. Ball back into midfield, go to clear it again, gets sliced. And then it eventually gets rolled back to Alisson. And we literally find a new way every week to go 1-0 down. Like, we would literally be better off starting, like, at the first whistle going around, you know what? We can play an AC. Wolves are 1-0 up. Starting games 1-0 up, or down even. We'd be better off. Now, that can happen to any goalkeeper. It can. Alisson is near infallible for me. He's been brilliant. But that can just happen. But again, shooting ourselves in the foot for the fucking umpteen time this season. Like, it's ridiculous. You can't keep going behind in games and expecting to be getting results. Because it's not going to work. We've got off the hook way too many fucking times this season. You look at the games we even won, they were 50-50s. You know what I mean? We had the bottle. There seems to be a mentality issue there at the moment. And I don't know whether it's exhaustion or whatever, but they just don't seem ready to cope with any particular pressure. We don't impose our game on teams anymore. And you've seen that. Teams know now. Have a little go here, they might wobble. Get in front here and you have a big fucking chance. Oh, it's frustrating. I kind of just laughed because you're literally finding ways to go behind in games now. We're doing it every week. We're doing it almost every other week. And we have been. And you know what, Keith? This isn't something that's exclusive to this season. If you actually look at the back end of last year, we've done that an awful lot in games as well. We found ways to go behind. I think it was Southampton away last year in the league. We done it. Villa away as well last year in the league. We done it. Villarreal when we were 2-0 up. So this is kind of something that's been creeping in for some time now. And it looks like it's a terminal problem now that needs to be addressed. And I think that lies both on the management and the players' shoulders. you can sign whoever you fucking want, but if the back four are going to keep giving up leading gifts like that, you may as well forget about it. It's fucking, it's roughest toast. And like I said, it's just, it's shite to have to sit through it, because it's not what we've become accustomed to under Klopp. It's the complete antithesis, actually. There's no calm, no structure, just panic. And then, well, just we're relying on moments of brilliance to get us out of a hole. And that was the story as well again yesterday. I'll tell you what, we got on to that as well, but like, I don't know what the fuck the officials are doing in England, but
yeah.
I couldn't hear the commentary, so I couldn't see why the goal was disallowed yesterday. But fuck me, I was thinking, what the fuck's going on here? It's rotten, and people are going to probably dig me out for this. I would have rather them go through and play another epoxy replay.
Yeah, so do I.
Whenever it's being played, because we don't have the bodies now to be playing two games a week. And this has started the break we have up until the Champions League is back. I don't know. It's fucking, it's brutal again. Going 1-0 down again. It's just fucking groundhog day.
Well, our games seem to follow. Like, if you look back at our games are, we'll dominate for the first 15, 20 minutes. We'll have chances. We won't take our chances. They'll kind of get into the game. They'll cause a bit of turmoil in our back four, and they go 1-0 up. That's basically the pattern that it goes. I'm the same. I think I'm more annoyed for the, if we had played well and lost, or if we had played well and drew, you wouldn't be that bothered. I'd be similar to Shawnee. I nearly would have preferred to go out than have to go and do it again, because if last night was tough, Molyneux's going to be 10 times harder. And if we don't have anybody back, or if we don't bring in anybody new, it's just going to be more of the same. I'm more annoyed with how the game went rather than the actual score, or rather than the fact that we have to play them again. It just seems to be, I don't know whether we're trying, are we trying to play a different way? Because if we are trying to play a different way, it's clearly not working. And we're now in January, and surely it's as plain as the nose on your face that whatever we're trying to do differently isn't actually working. So you need to change. I don't even know where to change it. So we're talking about transfers and stuff like that. And let's say you do bring somebody in. It's an awful lot of pressure to put on one person coming in to say that you have to change around the way this team's playing.
100%. Yeah, and I want to come on to that in a while, actually. I have a little wrote down about how we think, not how we think, what you think can happen about fixing it, whether it's internal, you know, on the pitch, new recruitment, things like that. I want to come on to that in a few minutes. Meme creator sent in a super chat. Thank you very much. I'm certain that teams aren't even coached to play against us anymore. Highline with a shot midfield. They just see space and they exploit. And it must be the easiest team to play against, because I think you've touched on it there. You know, Emmett said it, you play, you start well, you create a bit of pressure, and all of a sudden, as Shawnee said, you're shooting yourself in the foot and you're gifting a goal to the opposition. And to go 1-0 behind, when we were a high-tempo pressing team that were snapping at the heels, going 1-0 behind never bothered me, because I always felt the team they were the best in the world, in my opinion, at fighting and trying to get that back and pressing and not letting the 1-0, the year we won the league, Champions League and things like that, a 1-0 down, I was always confident that they'd overcome it. Now, 1-0 down, and it's always shooting ourselves. Like, Alisson is the best keeper in the world for me. You know, a kick like that doesn't change any of that at all, in my opinion. But again, it's another case of gifting the opposition a goal. And, you know, Wolves didn't play on that, in my opinion. I don't think Guedes, even though he pressed up on Matip just before it, as I touched on, I don't think their plan was press them really high. I think they're just opportunists. You know what I mean? I think it's just a forward that's doing his job and seeing an opportunity and goes 1-0 up. And the game goes on then, lads, and we get back into it in the first half, right? And this is a lovely goal for me. And I'm not disrespecting Trent's thing in this, but I don't think Darwin's getting enough credit for this goal, because all I'm seeing is Trent's pass. It's a wonderful ball into the box. If Kevin De Bruyne does it, everyone's talking about the pass. the finish by Nunes was brilliant, and it's the second one of those that he's done. Was it he scored? Was it against Southampton?
Yeah, near
identical finish. And it's like when he doesn't have time to think, Darwin, he's instinctively able to score a goal, and you see the glimpses of that. But we get back into it, and the goal, Sean, what do you make of the getting back? Were you confident once we got the goal back that, right, this is it? Or were you just same old, to come back to me in 60 minutes or whatever when this is over?
No, because I still thought it was pretty much 50-50 because they were getting chances at will towards yesterday. But just playing right through us, I thought, not that the goal was against the one to play, I just thought, good time. And I agree with you, it's a fucking brilliant finish from Nunes. I think Darwin's problems come from the moment is when he sort of has time to think. I think he's kind of overdoing it, but it showed he has that quality. A lot of people are hung up on Darwin, and I'd say that 95% of the fan base are behind him. He's becoming a bit of a meme at the moment, which is just bad for him. He's easy to pile on, and there's a narrative surrounding him at the moment, which unfortunately for him, it's easy clicks. He's low-hanging fruit at the moment. But take everything out and look at his return. He's missed a lot of big chances. But you're going to have to think with time, the percentage will improve on that. And more goals will start going in. His return is actually not that bad.
It's quite good.
It's not one you'd consider of a flop anyway. No.
10 and 23. And when you look at it, he's creating a lot of the chances himself. Yeah. You know, it's runs in behind and he's making a lot of
and I'd be more worried if Darwin wasn't affecting games at all. I wasn't getting chances, and it's pretty fucking clear he is. I think he's the only thing. This sounds actually funny because narratives outside would have you not believe this, but I actually think he's the only thing we have going for us at the moment. He's the only one who stretches team. He's the only one who causes opposition teams a little bit of hassle.
The only one with any intensity is Darwin Nunes, and he skirts on the borderline. Yeah.
I just think, look, a little bit of time and a few of them going in and you'll grow with confidence. And if you look around, there's not many of that team playing with confidence. They've all seemed to shrunk, like even Kanate, Matip, Alisson, they're making silly mistakes. And football is largely a psychological game as much as it is a technical and a physical game. If you have players just aren't feeling and not performing, it's kind of one of them things that can be, it's like anemic. Like it affects everyone.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the case now. And we got 1-1. I think we win a half-time 1-1 out me. So I'm thinking, like, look, if you can just get a fucking foot on the ball here and impose ourselves, we beat this. Because I think Wolves are second from bottom in the league, Eddie. Yeah. That's shite. Yeah. Let's be honest. Spade to spade, that's shite. We should be dispatching a makeshift Wolves team at home. In the FA Cup. But again, second half kicks off and we don't impose ourselves at all. We just don't see any sustained pressure or attack. Now, we go 2-1 up, but again, how is Salah off onside and your man offside? It just...
What a segue that is, Shawnee, because that's my next one, you know, and Emmett will come to you on it. Like, the second half starts, as Shawnee says, we go 2-1 in, but how can that be onside?
Well,
without even the Wolves one that's disallowed, I'm looking at that and I'm sitting here with my wife, my kids, we're all watching it and I'm saying it's offside, it's not going to be given, don't get excited. How's it offside? He headed it, but I said there was the pass went fucking miles, he's in an offside position. Your man didn't head it back, he just went to put a head on it. He's doing that because Salah is behind him. You know, like, how was that goal given?
I don't think that's the worst example of that type of goal, because I think, did Mbappe get one in, I don't know whether it was the last World Cup or the Euros, and someone tried to slide a ball through to him and the defender slid and literally scraped the end of his studs through to Mbappe standing in the box and he scored. But I knew that it wasn't going to, well, you never really know with the way they're making decisions these days, but in terms of the letter of the law, I thought that it was onside. Since then, I've actually gone and looked, and Mike Dean should have referred it to the referee, because it has to be an intentional attempt to play the ball, but it has to be a controlled contact on the ball. And that wasn't a controlled contact. If Salah isn't standing behind him, he's not trying to head that ball.
Yeah, exactly.
If Salah's not standing behind him, he's probably allowing it run through to the goalkeeper. So it is, look, I agree with most people. I think that probably needs to be changed. I was actually only speaking in a WhatsApp group about, you may even see them go back to anybody being offside, because you see now on deep free kicks, I think it's Maguire for United normally stands about 3 or 4 yards offside.
It gets
into the defenders' heads that, like, do you know what I mean? And it could end up in one of these where they try and play it, it lands at his feet and he scores. Ox has been doing it the last while for us. The rule is not right, but they didn't impose it right last night. Yes, he made an attempt to play the ball, but it wasn't a controlled attempt to play the ball. So I can't remember where I saw it, but they said in a situation like that where a player tries to play it, particularly with their head, there's more likely of it being overturned, because it's very hard to control a stretched attempt at a header.
So I've seen Dale Johnson said that on Twitter. I don't know if that's who you've seen. You know,
that's probably all
the VAR decisions. He was saying that.
It must have been him then, and he said that Mike Dean should have referred it to the referee, and referee then makes the call on it, not the VAR. But I knew that the rule was in place where if they make an attempt, but it's a controlled attempt. I didn't know it had to be controlled.
Sony Kang is saying it's basically because the defender goes for and plays the ball. But as we've said, Sean, he is not really, like, he's only going for that ball because Salah is behind him. He's not touching that.
But that would be. That would be a part of the game where you've had to play football to understand it.
Yeah.
And that's the game being reffed in a robotic way. Like, he clearly, if Salah's not there, the centre has probably just letting the ball bounce through to the keeper.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Doesn't
happen. And if he doesn't make an attempt at that and gambles, like we do with our highline, we gamble an awful lot on a player. So if he gambles and doesn't attempt to get that and lands at Salah's feet, he's onside, he'd be absolutely lambasted. Yeah. So it's nearly a reflex action to try and play the ball.
It's another week where we're here, VAR and OFAR. These officials are just fucking shocking. They're absolutely brutal.
And we're not finished with them yet.
Yeah. What look. Yesterday was just another example of fucking how incompetent that they are. And then they'll have, like, yeah, man, on Sky Sports tomorrow, Dermot Gallagher fucking doing gymnastics trying to justify this. It's absolutely mental. And it's mad, isn't it? Like, just a little to go off track a little bit. Like, you couldn't get a word out of these fuckers when they're reffing for 20, 15 years, because they said it's not right to be talking about decisions in the infancy after a fucking it happens. But what's your man's name? Just beyond
Peter Walton.
Peter Walton's happy to take a few quid off BT to give his opinion, and Dermot Gallagher now is the very same. But again, that they're not even involved with referees anymore, and they're still trying to justify this shite that they're coming up with. It's just it's bonkers, really, to be honest with you. It was a bit of a farce yesterday. Like, to come out and say that the reason that they can't give Wolves his third goal is because they don't have enough TV angles. Like, are you fucking serious? I've watched inside Anfield. There must be 100 cameras in the stadium for every different angle. Like, it's absolutely bonkers.
I don't
understand it. And this would just be something we continue to talk about until the end of the game. Yeah, because the problem is, it's kind of an acceptance on the Premier League and FA's behalf that's just the standard. It doesn't look like they're doing anything to combat it because they jump through hoops to sort of justify these decisions.
They say that the semi-automated VAR that they have in the Champions League, there's a camera on every single individual player or something like that is what they said. Yeah. But we play in the Champions League. Could they not have used that system? I know it's not, but could they not have used one of those cameras?
It's like the Carabao Cup. Like, there's no VAR until the semi-final. Why? Like, none of the other games count. But I understand it. You'd have championship sides and all playing, but, like, fucking hard can it be? It's clearly way more difficult than we can understand, because if you're turning around the competition saying, we'll put VAR in for semis, why?
The FA Cup is worse. Yeah, the FA Cup have it in Premier League, but if you're playing in a League One, that they don't have VAR. There's no VAR.
Yeah, so what's the point? So are you trying to tell me then if fucking Preston ended up in the Carabao Cup semi-final, someone from Preston's going to have to be fitting a load of cameras in the game before the home play?
Yeah, Bolton Albion got there, didn't he, against City a few years ago?
Yeah, like,
they were bleeding.
It's fucking mad. Bolton Albion spent that transfer budget on VAR. A
load of cameras.
You know, like, it's just, I don't get it. It's ridiculous. The more the game goes on, the less I understand it, when it should literally be the contrary.
Exactly.
I don't know.
But a lovely finish by Salah. I think that's getting lost in the whole thing. You know, he takes it well. He takes it down and he buries it, as you'd expect, a composed finish by Mo. But, like, at that stage, lads, we're 2-1 up, and I'm thinking to myself, right, we've given their gift. We've given them their present. We're after getting it back. Now we're going to have to push on. And we don't really push on. So I'm just going to check the time here. So we scored that on 52 and on 66. So they make a triple substitution, Wolves, on 63. Huang, Cunha and Nunez come on. And within 3 minutes of that, they're level. So, Emmett, I'll let you take this one. What do you make of the goal on that?
It's one drop of the shoulder and our whole midfield three gets taken out of the game. I don't know whether it's a case of the midfield have been, so Henderson plays the six sometimes and then Fabinho plays the six and then Henderson sometimes, but do they know where their positions are? Because you've got, even when Henderson was, look, I know we're talking about last night's game, but Henderson was playing in the six last week. And more often than not, he was ahead of the ball. That's not what a six does. So it's nearly like they've forgotten how to play. And someone put up, and it's somebody that's probably watching. I don't know whether I can't even remember the name, but they put up a couple of stills on Twitter last night. And it's our midfield three are nearly in a straight line across the middle of the pitch and our forward three. And there's somebody running towards them. And it's literally one pass and they're bypassed their midfield. And it's happening more and more and more and more often. I don't know whether it's the shape or they don't have the legs, and the Fabinho is floundering out on the wings, and he's not, like, do you know what I mean? Like, Fabinho used to be like Gandalf, do you know what I mean? You shall not pass. And now he looks old. Do you know, he looks like an old person running after and chasing after people.
Yeah.
It's Nunez with the run, isn't it? And puts in Huang. And look, a lot of people are blaming Alisson again. Now, I don't know many. I know a lot of goalkeepers, but I don't know many that will be able to react to a point-blank deflection in front of them and change that body. So he was getting the blame for that. Konate was getting a bit. It was a fluky goal. Well worked, but
the finish itself was foy.
Yeah, it was scruffy, and it just look when you've. If we didn't have a bad luck, we'd have no luck. Exactly. I mean, and it just comes off Konate, and Alisson doesn't have time to react to it. But again, it's just put, like we've said it for, like you hear it like on Sunday League, just run at them, and that seems to be all that teams do now is just run at them, like run at them, and it just causes panic, and look. They got what they deserved. Like I said at the start, we move the ball way too slow now. We used to ping it around one and two touch. And that's what I said. We actually played with a higher tempo for maybe two parts of the game and we got two goals from it. They seem to play with a higher tempo for the majority of the game, or a higher tempo than us, and they got their rewards from it. Just a well-worked goal, but unfortunate with the deflection off Konate.
Yeah. Shawnee, before I come to you on this, I just want to mention our charity drive that we have on at the moment that's only sort of started there over the weekend, and it's called G4MO, and it's Gaelic for Mothers and Others. It's 11 ladies out in Ashbourne in the GAA club are running the Dublin Marathon for breast cancer research, and you know it's something that touches every family, every household, every in the world, everyone gets hit by cancer. Nobody's infallible to this. It's a poxy disease. It's disgusting. Everybody gets it at some stage, and it's close, I'm sure, to everybody's heart. And these ladies are running the Dublin Marathon, and fair play to them. And Gav has, as he does, sees this as an opportunity for ourselves on this channel to try and use the platform that we have to do what we can to help out these things. And we don't get paid on this. We don't do any of this for money. We don't, you know, a sponsor comes in every now and again, and that's usually just to, as Gavin say, keep the lights on and keep everything running. You know, me, Sean, and Emma are the millionaires from doing podcasts. We come on here to have a chat, and just like you would in the pub, just sit around. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but we still come on and do it. But we look at these things when we can, and we've done a lot of them in the past, and we've a small contribution that we've done to them. You know, we're not claiming that we've single-handedly dragged these things over the line, but we've done our best to contribute and help. And this is the latest one. So look, I know times are tough at the moment. It's not getting any easier for families. It's, you know, cost of living, energy crisis, all this. There's everything's a crisis at the moment, and every prices are going up all over the place. But if anybody can help, if anybody can donate, please do. If you can't, if you're not in a position to donate, share it far and wide in WhatsApp groups, on your social media, anything that you can do. Because if we can get these ladies as much support, they'd be blown away by it. And when Gav spoke to them, he did say they were absolutely blown away by what he said he'd try and do. So Red Steve saying they're close to 800 raised already. Yeah, I just checked it before we came on there. 785, I think they were at. And that's only after a couple of days. You know, anything that we can do to help this out and push it. Again, we always say we won't be apologizing for speaking about this on every show. Just get used to it. Do you know what I mean? Some people don't like when we talk about these things. We're going to do it, you know what I mean? So I think if everyone does it, all the information will be in the show description and on the Twitter page, and we'll be sharing that, and we'll be pushing it, so you'll see all about it. But any help is, no matter how small, just do it. Just help us with this, push it. You have done great for us in the past. We appreciate all that. But, you know, we're going to just keep doing it. So we don't ask for money, usually, except in these instances. If anyone can help us or spread the word, that'd be great. So, you know,
like Pete said there, like, well, it's not a necessity, but oftentimes we've leaned on your generosity, and it's always been what got us over the line, so it's greatly appreciated as well. So I know how much all this means to Gav, because I'm not going to talk about the trip like it's a fucking non-profit organization. Yeah. But a lot of the, if you look at down going past the last couple of years, the backbone has been, why do you do it? Well, we do it because we enjoy it, but then it's, again, it's a platform to help others. So again, we lean on your generosity, and I won't say you haven't let us down, because it's not about letting us down.
Yeah.
But you have always backed us and supported us. So it's another one that I'm more than sure we'll get over the line, thanks to your generosity and others. Like Keith said, it's fucking hard times at the moment. Everyone is struggling, like electric bills, cost of food. It's not easy, you know what I mean? But still, he's managed to dig in and get it done. So I'm nearly 100% sure when we look back on this, he'd be saying, you know what? They're all a lot of fucking mad fuckers in the chat crying out on every other week. I'm picking on every opportunity. Yeah. But they managed to get it done. They managed. Is that good? What I'm saying is, you aren't a useless shower of fuckers.
Javier's at good points. Javier's at good points.
And like Kevin O'Sullivan says, like, nobody's expecting anybody to donate massive amount of money. It's the fivers and the tenors that will get them to their target.
Exactly. You know, and they're often, sometimes you can think, oh, I don't have the money, and that's fine. But as Emmett said, the little ones, loads of them little ones, if you can give anything, that's greatly appreciated. If you can't, just share the fire and wood. That's all we'd say. But look, we'll move on. Shawnee, do you want to mention anything about that Wolves goal, or do you want to move on to the disallowed one?
Nah, same shoy. Yeah. Chance to declare alliance. Don't do it. Punished. Story of the season so far.
I was going to say, I've heard that song before so many times, yeah. You know, unfortunately. But look, the game goes on, and we all know Wolves get a chance at the end. And I don't know. the reasoning for this disallowed goal is very sketchy to me. So you're hearing that it's your man Tuti or Tuti or whatever his name is offside. And then you're like, no, Nunes is offside from the corner. They don't have the angle. And then someone else is saying, but does a defender keep a Nunes on? And again, the cameras aren't there. Yada, 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 yada. But then you also have to say, you know, how is this happening? As Sean, he said, there's cameras everywhere. And we got burnt with this against Arsenal when Martinelli scored against us and Saka was offside, but the camera didn't see him. Do you know what I mean? And this is at the Emirates, isn't it? Yeah, Arsenal, the Emirates. And it's at Anfield. You're not talking even, you know, Bournemouth or Brentford, and you're talking about two of the top clubs in the Premier League. Like, how can this be a thing? But they must feel hard done by. And, you know, until we see a definitive, I haven't seen definitive pictures of this offside. And until I do, I think they're hard done by. But it's just another case of VAR. This time we can blame the equipment or the cameras, not so much the actual lines, but the camera work. And how we're still at this, how we're still talking about this letting games down or letting teams down. You know, look, Lopetegui's only new in that job. They are 18th, they're shy at the moment. I can see them maybe getting out there. In my opinion, I can see them pushing up that league. But little things like that, going against you, in fairness to them, they're going to get a replay. I thought replays were done away with. Why are we doing replays in this day and age?
Yeah, Klopp said something. I was only kind of half listening because I was supposed to be working at the same time. But Klopp said something about extra time and penalties. So I assumed that would apply last night. I think there was actually only one other draw yesterday. And that's how I realised it wasn't extra time and penalties. But it definitely should be, especially with the World Cup.
Yeah,
breaking up the season, like, because there is no more time to play these games. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I get that we're again looking at this from a point of view as we're in the Champions League, we're kind of, but still, like, just get it over and done with. Like, do what they do in the League Cup. Send it to penalties. Just get it, like, because as much as we don't want it, Wolves probably don't want it either. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just concentrate on the league. Have, like, it's great to have that week where you play Saturday or Saturday and Sunday, where you don't have this FA Cup game that you have to get out of the way in the middle as well. So
yeah, Chris says no replays after the fourth round. That is fucking stupid. Like, why have them at all? This is
like the VAR thing in the league.
VAR, like, yeah, it's absolutely mind-boggling the show that they're dealing with this. You know, I get annoyed with this. You know, but look. It is raised. Kev says, there isn't one, Keith, but the Lino was told not to raise his flag until the phase plays out. He did his job. And yeah, that's fair enough. I've no issue with the linesman not doing. That's perfectly fine. That's the way it should go. I hate seeing linesmen raising their flag before the phase plays out. So I agree with all that. I just can't believe there's not a definitive picture of this somewhere to shut it up one way or the other and be able to say, look, it was offside. That's the reason why it's offside. Or it's not offside. Wolves were screwed. Personally, my take, until he's proven otherwise, it was a hard decision on Wolves. The Salah goal was a hard decision on Wolves. We got away with it. But we didn't really, because we have to do a replay now against them. We have to go. If we get through that, we go away to Brighton. Nearly just bleeding. Scrapping.
22 of our last 30 cup games have been against Premier League opposition.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
since 2017, 2018.
Yeah. You know, and look, we've got the odd little scuppery one, but...
Meanwhile, like you said, Man City, you've been playing Burton Albion.
Well, in fairness, I've seen something today. In fairness to them, their last five have been like Liverpool, Arsenal. Chelsea, yeah. Arsenal again. But look, they got
Arsenal in the next round, did they?
They got Arsenal again, yeah. Let them blade and go at it, you know what I mean? They're not air business, unfortunately, this year, and it's just a shame. Before we move on, lads, Gakpo, what did you make of him, Johnny?
Didn't notice him in the game. He had his first touch, I think, in the first half. He gets away from the defender and has a shot, but
didn't really
impose himself on the game. But again, like, not writing him off, just that wasn't the best game for him, but...
There's so many writing him off, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's mad.
I felt he probably didn't play as wide as Diaz did. played probably a little bit narrower than what Diaz does. I'm not comparing him to Mane, but he played on the corner of the 18-yard box.
Yeah,
it's kind of where he picked up his position, whereas Diaz would be literally in the first row of the stands.
So,
from what we saw, I don't think we saw anything bad. Not certainly nowhere near what some people are going off on online. It's kind of take him a while setting into the team, but the length of him, he's any longer he'd be late. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's, and I think that you could see maybe a time where him and Nunes are maybe we need to get back to where defenders don't know who's going to show up in what position. That's the way we used to have it with Mane, Bobby, and Salah. It would be great if we could even with Nunes and Gakpo see them switching every now and again, because Shawnee's right. Nunes has, like, there's times where it's like, oh, watch another game, we're going to be shit again. But you're kind of nearly only turning on to see what kind of chaos is Nunes going to create in this game. And I think he probably plays that little bit better when he does come from the left. Yeah. And I just think we're probably going to see them switch in-game a lot more than probably
Nunes. The goal, that happens on the goal, doesn't it? So Nunes pulls to the left and Gakpo's running inside. He's taking defenders in with him. And it's a good point, because Diaz is much more of a wide player who likes to cut in. And he seems to like to end up nearly on that edge of the box, and then he's looking to get a shot away. Whereas Gakpo's starting position, even when you look back at him for Holland or PSV, he does seem to be that little bit more in field, and maybe that it's wishful thinking. It's one game, you know. It wasn't a great game by any stretch of the imagination.
But it's positive thinking rather than writing the kid off. Like, do you know what I mean? Jesus Christ.
Look, people are.
There's flashes there.
Yeah, there definitely is. And Diaz has apparently said that he kind of wants to see himself as a centre forward. So you just don't know. But look, there's a long way before we have that kind of worry of who starts over Diaz, Jota, Nunes, or Gakpo.
I can't see any long term conversations coming around the likes of Darwin and Gakpo being
gone. We give him a minute.
Tune in next week.
Yeah. A Shawnee lost the special.
I couldn't even tell you where he was going with that. So
yeah, but no, it's something that you know you see the thing. I think Nunes. Everybody's been dying for Liverpool to flop in the transfer for a long, long time. And we've crowed and we've been, you know, up on our high horses about how great we are at recruitment. And when they saw the Nunes money and the videos in pre-season and I'm missing a couple of touches, that was it. The noise were out. And, you know, despite everything to the contrary, we're just being told he's a shit Andy Carroll. He's, the Domino's Pizza, Sky Sports, all doing their little cracking their gags at him and taking their little getting their little low hanging fruit, as Shawnee said. And back to Shawnee. Finish that. You look like you're gonna make a great point there.
I don't see there being any long term conversations to be had around the two boys. I think they'll be just fine. I really do. And think once they're supplemented with the likes of Diaz and Jota and we'd be grand. I'm not worried about them at all. I'd actually say that they would be the least of Liverpool's worries at the moment. And I also gave you a transfer exclusive there before I cut off, but I won't be doing it again. I'm just letting you know.
He's only got one shot. only getting the whole one. Like the porridge ad, this is where he's giving out all the secrets and they opens the oven, they can't hear them. That's it.
Yeah.
And it was a good one as well. That's all we'll say. It was a good one as well. But no, I agree. Look, the situation with Gakpo and Nunes and the other forwards that are there. You and Gav done a show, Shawnee, when you were talking about things being wrong and being off at Liverpool. And I think you could have been yourself that said it about Firmino's importance. You know, what Firmino brought to the team and helped the midfield so much was that he was always in there amongst it and he was always winning balls and helping. It wasn't, Emmett said, three forwards in a straight line, three centre mids in a straight line. You had players in and around there. And I think when they all get back and they're all doing more, you'll see an improvement in Liverpool that the defending starts from the front, all them cliches, pressing from the top and all that. But the attack is the least of our worries, recruitment wise, in my opinion. The midfield, not so much. We started off yesterday, as we said, with the three lads in there, Fabinho, Thiago, and Henderson. Now, look, people hate Henderson's guts. You know, it is what it is. He's the captain of the team. He's given everything to the team for over a decade. He's deserves, in my opinion, nothing but respect. But people don't have to like his game at the moment. He's regressed something terrible. They moan about him getting a new contract. He's the club captain. Why wouldn't he get a new contract? It always baffles me why people get bleeding mad about that. But they're three of the senior midfield. They're the senior midfield. They're the midfield that you're looking at and saying, right, if you're picking your strongest, well, if Klopp was picking the strongest midfield, that's who he's going to pick. They are so slow. It is too easy to walk through our midfield. And, you know, I think Thiago's been impacted by it because he was never a quick player. You know, he scampers. He's a little, like a little blade and Jack Russell, a little scamper around, but he doesn't have strides to keep up with players. And he's winning tackles, he's doing bits and he's doing that, but the legs around him aren't helping him. And Fabinho, Jesus, it looked like he was back to his best. And then it looked like he's not. So I don't know what to make on him. But what can we do with this midfield, lads? I want to talk about... So we finished with the match. We were steeped. We've epoxy replay to go through. Blah, blah, blah. We'll deal with that when it happens. What do we need to do with this team going forward? How do we not fix it, but how do we stop this bleeding? Sean, you'll come to you. How do we stop this bleeding at Liverpool? Is it as simple as bringing in players? Is it change of formation? Is it players going back to the drawing board? Is it taking the power back from Pep Linders? What is it, in your opinion?
We need two bodies.
Yep.
We don't need one, we need two. And the reason why I'll say two is because look at what we have. I think Arthur's the only midfielder missing now, is he? Milner is out as well, but again,
he's same age as me, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, like, look at who we're relying on at the moment, all right? I'd say Thiago's been okay, right? I think Thiago's had to play midfield on his own some of the games. Bajecic's done well when he come in, but obviously Klopp's not willing to lean on him. He's only a young lad. Fabinho, look, there was signs of him getting back to his best, but and the thing that we haven't even talked about is Henderson, Fabinho, Thiago, even Keita. Like, I don't even fucking need to mention Keita. And this could be said, the same could be said for any player, but more so it is, they're only ever a game away from being in for a prolonged period of time. And that's the way it's been. I can't believe we're in this position still. I can't believe I'm spending another show when we're in a window that's open saying we need midfielders. If they don't fucking do it, like if you don't do it now, they're going to have to buy them in the summer anyway.
Yeah.
If they do buy Bellingham, they're not going to have much fucking cash to spare to buy another midfielder.
Yeah.
Like we need minimum one now, minimum. And a two would really fucking give us a platform to build on, because I don't know. I'm not worried that there's no links, because I think I'd be more worried when there is links, because we seem to be walking silence, but like we seem to be not walking at fucking all lately. The fact that we're still having this conversation, I think we've signed one midfielder on a permanent in the last six windows. It's fucking criminal. It's criminal. And I know the favourite word is neglect, and I know Top Reds love using that word as if it's something that's more, it's like crisis. I hate crisis being used in football. Crisis don't happen in football. Tragedies happen, but crisis is down because it's not that important. And football's not really that net football. It's not that important to be negligent, but
he's gone again.
Oh, no.
I agree with Shawnee. I think he said we need two. I think we need three.
I think we need four.
Any advances on four? but I think we definitely need one in January. 100%. He's in twice now.
Yeah, well, honestly, that's not heavy from the koi bash on me.
I had this the other night. Yeah, that's it. I had it the other night.
It's going to be like, look, listen, whatever happens, I did not kill myself. I have no...
what they say.
But now look, we fucking made it, and I swear to God, it will be the most embarrassing thing in the club's recent history if you don't end up with Bellingham after all of this shit. Because I'm not even going to pretend it'll be worth it. But for whatever reason we miss out on him now, they can get fucked. Honestly, I'd be more than happy to see the back of FSG now because of a pound me bollocks with this stuff. You can't tell me. You can't tell me that point. You can't tell me that you can't part ways with an extra 20, 30 million outlay in a single window, which will only, that's all it probably cost. You can't tell me I've enough of them at this stage. I'm sick of this conversation being had. It's not fair in Klopp. Whoever's responsible, they need to fucking sort it out. Because I'm telling you, if it gets to the end of the window again, am I looking at fucking players 6 months left in that contract that looking for long deals, you can just fucking forget about it. Because they've effectively wrote this season off.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion.
When you say they've wrote this season off, does Klopp take some of the blame for this? Because to me, he takes a lot of the blame for this. Klopp takes a lot of the blame for this.
Because if you look at the fucking the end of last window, it was like, oh, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe you are right. And I don't know whether he's being sarcastic, but he goes and design Melo. Like, in your heart and hearts, if you don't think we don't need a midfielder, don't fucking bring in Arthur Melo.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? Like, so you can't tell. It's clearly obvious. Like, the one thing you can always refer back to is the Tchouaméni thing. Like, how did you have a deal in place for a player of his caliber and then have nothing else in the pipeline? I seen Neil Jones on, I think it was on the Anfield Rap, saying the club have two or three lists at any one time. You can't tell me.
There's a top four list and a non-top four list. Yeah.
You can't tell me
by defender, attackers, and that's it.
You can't tell me there's not never mind one. You can't tell me there's not three players that we could afford to bring in to fucking help this team to get where we need to be. Every signing doesn't have to be a fucking 80 or 90 million, 100 million. That's not, think about it, that's not what got us to this dance in the first place. Being clever and getting Wijnaldums and Salahs and Mane's before they explode is what made us the team we are. We don't need to be going and buying. Just fucking do your due diligence and get them in. And in this case, I'd buy Caicedo for 60 million, 70 million, because he's not going to be any cheaper in the summer.
Yeah.
By the time you get near him, he's going to be playing for one of your rivals because they'll pay the money. So if you can get him now, you fucking get him. Like, that's the most frustrating thing. They come out and say the right player. That, all of that went out the window for me when we signed Arthur, because it's a load of bollocks. Now, we were proved wrong with the Kanate thing, Keith, which you had on saying we didn't want to go. But you can't fucking tell me in the last two windows, and including the summer and now, that we didn't have someone there. Obviously not going to be a Tchouaméni because he's fucking top tier. But your man Nunes, they're going to buy him in the summer.
Yeah. Buy him last fucking summer. What's the problem?
Exactly. Like, it makes even less sense. It's so fucking frustrating. It winds me right up. People call it Tielemans. Honestly, Tielemans were a fucking rocket. It's much slower than the midfielders we already have. If he's the answer, I don't know what the question is. Like, you know what I mean? We need fucking bodies. We've missed out on so many good players going elsewhere that were fucking easily obtainable for us. Easily. Because they went to clubs in worse position than us without the money. It's fucking ridiculous. It's so annoying. It's so frustrating. The Nunes links send my head west.
People
are telling me it's all bollocks and it's not. But it actually seems like it is true.
It's sweating that it is true. Yeah. From the minute it came out, your head's being cabbaged on that one.
It just makes it's something that I would look at United still.
Yeah.
And that's fucking the furthest from where we want to be.
Something that, you know, we look at this team and we look at the scattergun approach. You know, you touched on it'd be embarrassing if we don't get Jude Bellingham. If we don't get Jude Bellingham for whatever reason, like, and we may be out of that race already, we don't know, you know, fans speculating all that. Do you think they need to go big and bring in big players? Like, if we don't get Jude Bellingham in the summer, for example, do you think two midfielders between this window and next window is enough?
No. I think we need three. Not for me. Yeah. You think we need four?
I think we need four over the next windows.
Yeah. The Enzo Fernandez to Chelsea thing has probably torpedoed the Casado because, well, you never know. Potter might not actually be at Chelsea to bring in his Brighton players. But I think we need a minute. We need I think we need three, and we need a minimum of one this month. Something needs to change, and it can't be that Jones is coming back from his latest injury, because Jones and Bajcetic, as good as Bajcetic will be, he's not the answer right now. And we had a discussion in the Telegram the other day about this. I'm not saying that we need to get rid of him or he'll never be good enough, but he's not the answer today. We need an answer nearly straight away. And I agree with Sean. We can't be dragging this out until the last couple of hours of the window, and then all of a sudden we're linked with Lee Catamol or someone like that. Like, I mean, it's just just get it done. Get it, like, you're gonna, like you said, we're gonna have to spend the money anyway. Good players aren't gonna be any cheaper in the summer. Just go and get one. Like, I would, if we could, I would cancel Ox and Nabbies. If that's, and I think Kev has mentioned it a few times in the comments there, that the issue at the moment is that there's no room in the squad for players. So come to some sort of an agreement, pay the pair of them off and just say, good luck, thanks very much, and then go. And I can't get my head around the Klopp's, first we have to collect some money. You don't know whether, like, what is it?
I think that's our context, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what he meant by that. Does he mean sell players? Does he mean get wages off the books? Does he mean reduce weight? I didn't know what he meant. But whatever we need to do between now and the end of January to try and get somebody in to kind of put us in some sort of shape where we can go and retrieve the top four, because it's nowhere near out of our reach to go and get top four. I still think we get top four, but we do need some help to get there, because we can't continue on with the way we've been playing the last few weeks.
Billy Hogan's comments in October were big red flags to me, saying that there's contingency if you don't make top floor. And I'll caveat what I said earlier with the Neil Jones thing. He said that the difference in the list between Champions League and non-Champions League, it's not like it's a fucking vast gap between. He said it might be just a couple of million. Again, then you're going to have players questioning whether they want to play. And to be honest with you, if you're going for a player and they're like, I don't want to play if you're not in the Champions League, I'd be like, right, go fuck yourself.
Because
it wasn't an issue with Mane and the Wijnaldums when we signed them. And that's what we need to get back to. We need the hunger back. We need that heart of the team to be beaten again. Like, we'll take nothing away from Henderson, the rest of them. Maybe Keita, but take nothing away from them. They've fucking done all they can. I think they're at their physical capacity.
Yeah.
Like, Naby Keita is injured again, apparently. He wasn't involved yesterday, was he?
No. Oh, yeah, he came on. He came on yesterday, yeah.
Actually, he didn't do too bad for a while to get the ball away.
He's only ever another training session away and be now for 5 or 6 weeks. How many games are you going to play between now and the end of the season? We need to fucking do something.
Yeah.
Like, you're just writing this season off. And the thing is, people are saying in the chat there, like, if you're thinking to yourself that in the summer it's only going to take midfielders, it's not, because then you're going to have other holes appearing. If Kelleher's gone, you're going to need a second choice. If Bobby's gone, you're probably going to need someone else there. Like, that, it doesn't just stop. You're not plugging gaps. Again, we needed to be topping the team up consistently. We left ourselves behind in windows, and it's all come home to roost now. But we're fucked.
Let's have a little talk about let's have a little think. We won't stay too long, but in the summer, right, you started it there, Seanie, and I think you're right. We both say, me and Emmett were saying earlier that Kelleher looks like he's probably done at Liverpool because barring an injury, he's not going to get another game. He's a saleable asset. I think they'll sell him in the summer and they'll get a few quid from him. The lad will go and play first team football. That's fine. That's his thing. Adrian will be gone, right? So that's two goalkeepers dusted. They'll promote that young lad, Harvey Davis, I'd say. But you're going to need someone with experience in there. Yeah. So you got to bring in a keeper. You're looking at the back four. Tsimikas, Devoy's opinion, he's a backup, a decent backup at best. Nothing more than that. You wouldn't want to. He's gone from being, you know, people thinking he's better than Robbo to being sort of finding his level that he's at best. You'd want to see him for one or two games, but nothing sustained. Calvin Ramsey could be anything. He's looked good in the little cameos we've seen, so we probably have a right back there. Centre back is something that gets overlooked.
Yeah.
And
controversially, I think.
It's Virgil now. He's not the same player. I don't know if he's having I thought he was a model that he's holding himself for the World Cup because it was his last chance. He's come back, he's looked worse. I don't know if it's the injury is catching up on him maybe after coming back and adrenaline pushing him through. I don't know. Maybe that could be something in that. We've got Matip, who's another year older. I think he'd be what? How old is he? He must be 31, is he? I'm just guessing, right? So a bit of age on him.
I'll look it up here now.
Kanate looks like he's the future, but his injury record, you know, isn't the best. And to me, Joe Gomez is a busted flush. I'd be looking to sell Joe Gomez. He's another one that I'm looking at now. And I'm looking at him as another saleable asset. But to me, that's a minimum now of another centre-back. Minimum.
I think
possibly two.
Matip is 32. He'll be 32 again the next season starts.
32. He does well, Matip.
Would be a great four-choice centre-half.
Yeah.
But I think Gomez needs to be sold.
Yeah.
That sounds a little bit harsh, but I think Gomez now would be an anomaly if he turned his Liverpool career around. I think it would be one of them things where you'd be surprised if it happened. Like, he needs a complete renaissance, I think, as a Liverpool player. Had a couple of decent games here and there, but I think we should sell him now while the value is high and upgrade. Yeah. And be looking at a dance partner for Kanate for years to come. Because I don't think, again, if Gomez is even good enough, how long will he stay fit for? Because he's always been one of them where his questions are. So, like, the next phase of this team, it's going to be huge. Like, it really is going to be. There's a few young lads coming through, I believe. Said that back that, but your man Kwanzaa looks very good from what I have seen him, but he's a young player and he needs to be playing big boy football.
It's a big jump.
Ben Doak should never leave Liverpool on loan. I think he should be an attacking option. I believe watching Doak remind me when you first see someone like a Rooney boasting on, you just know they have it. You know they're good enough. We need major surgery now, boys, if I'm being honest.
And that's without a whole new midfield, because if you look at Ox, Kate and Milner are all out of contract. Arthur will be gone, thankfully. But even just in midfield, like, so that's four of them out. And then you're looking at Harvey Elliott. We know he's probably not a central midfielder at the moment. Curtis Jones, just the slightest thing, and it keeps him out.
I'd be shopping him around, if I'm being honest.
Curtis Jones?
Yeah,
he's another one that you'd look at. But the problem here is, we're losing a lot of homegrown players. We're losing a lot of homegrown. So, I know I'm not the exact same
opinion. It's not cheap to replace them either.
Kelleher, Gomez, Jones. I like Curtis Jones. I think he's excellent. But he's just not fit enough and he's not consistent and he's not getting the opportunities to build on what he can do. There's three homegrown players, you know. So
we think if Curtis Jones is going to become the player he can possibly be, I think he'll need to do it elsewhere.
Yeah. He needs games.
Like, he's young. Like, you know what I mean? I know he's just signed a new deal, but he's young. He needs to develop elsewhere. And, like, again, you're looking at Kelleher. he's way too fucking good to be only playing 5-6 games a year.
Yeah.
You know?
One so, if you get knocked out in the League Cup in the fourth attempt.
Yeah. If I look just completely hypothetical, but would Bellingham be considered a home ground? Is that
yeah,
stupid?
He would be, yeah. No, yeah. I think he is. Yeah, he was trained in Birmingham, like, so even though he was, what, 17, was he when you went?
Oh, but he's English anyway, isn't he?
He's so, English, yeah.
Look,
Jones will be
22
at the end of this, so still young.
There's so many questions now surrounding ownership, the state of the squad, what's going on in the background. It's fucking tough. It's tough at the moment to kind of be optimistic. I don't know. It's just they've left so much work on here, and it's even tougher to stomach coming off the back of the season we had last year, which was nearly historical. But when something is nearly historical, you have to prop her up so that you can go again.
Yeah, but that's what we're guilty of, is not propping her up. Yeah. You know, and we've been guilty of that for how long? We won the Champions League, and you spoke about this, I think, Jordan. You win the Champions League and you bring in Adrian Elliott, Seth Vandenberg. And Seth Vandenberg's doing all right on loan. I wouldn't be surprised to see him coming back in, especially if Linders has all the influence that people seem to think he does. But you're not buying the right quality. Now, I know we do bring in Kanate after. We bring in Thiago. We bring in Jota. We bring in Simicas. That's a decent window. But you need to be looking at that sort of window all the time. Like, how we looked at it. And the reason I don't think we're going to buy a midfielder now, or it will be a Sander Berg type, is because we done Gakpo in December, before that window was open. And Klopp does not think, in my opinion, that the midfield is as big an issue as we all think. He looks at that and he's like, I have Naby back. I have, you know, such and such. Jones. I have Jones back. You know, I think he thinks he can get through. If he gets Trent and Robbo forward, and then he can get a front three forward, and I think he thinks the job at midfield will do the job. And I just don't think,
I think above all else of where we need in terms of players, I think we need new owners as well.
Oh yeah, we don't need to know. FSG don't need to come out and tell us. You know what I mean? But if they're staying around, there has to be investment. So it's either they're investing or they're selling the club. It can't be. We can't fall down that little rabbit hole of like Arsenal did for years, where it was just No money. Wenger is justifying lack of spending and things like that. We can't slip down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, we need the fact that statement coming out and going everywhere. Well, everyone says they've always been saying nothing changed. That for me, now I could be wrong. Most likely I am wrong. If I'm wrong, people are telling me, that's for sure. But it's sort of an admittance for me that Dave Coyne just got rich. You know what? We can't fucking compete. Look at the money Chelsea are splashing around now at the moment. Yeah. It's not even working for them. They're going to continue to do that. So I think we need new owners, to be honest with you. Above all else, because without them, we'd never seem to get exactly what we need.
Yeah. Even without that, because, right, that's unlikely to happen now in January. So unless something drastic does happen, and I can't see that. And even if something was announced, I think it'd take a long time for that to be pushed through. You know, the Chelsea one was extenuating circumstances. Abramovich, it was being sold by the league and government. So you look at it, if they sell the club, I think best case scenario is it'll be a summer, new owners pump in the money. But the reality is something has to be done, whether we think that they were or not. Someone has to bring.
They have to maintain their asset. If we don't make top four, you don't become as attractive. They lose money on the actual cost of the
I think the new is a big safety blanket for them. I think that's 2024 that starts, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're not gonna be out of Champions League for any more than a year.
Yeah, and that is true, you know, and that's the worry, is that, look, I've stuck up for FSG in the past because I always felt that they had a model, they stick to their model, we lose the head over it, and that's on us, you know what I mean? But I'm worrying now myself about this falling into that trap of, well, we'll be in the Champions League, so we don't really have to do anything, and that will be a disaster because yeah, exactly.
This is what we've qualified in the top four the last whatever 15, 20, whatever year, many years it was. That's right. What trophy did you get for it? Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I said it on a show before. I think the best thing that's happened for Liverpool fans is that we won the league. But I think it's probably the worst thing that's happened because they've got us to where we wanted to be and we won the league now. And it's kind of like now it's just like they're kind of, we did that and they don't want to. Winning for them is top four.
Yeah.
Winning for us is trophies. And I just think like they're not aligned with the.
Exactly.
With the support, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah, somebody said there, we don't need new owners, we need investment, but if somebody comes in and invests, I have a feeling that it will be for a majority share. So even if FSG stay around, investment could mean new owners as well.
Yeah. I think if that's to happen, it's going to be an investment, but with an eye to buy out. And Sean, yeah, you might have said that when we done a show previous. It'll be an eye of taking it over eventually. They can continue. And they're looking at the NBA. I think that's an open secret now at this stage that they're looking at the Las Vegas NBA franchise that'll be coming down the line. And I still wouldn't rule out. I mean, Champions League and TV money in the Premier League is a big, big cash cow. They don't take the money out of the club, but the asset is building and building. But can it get much bigger? I don't know. I don't think so. A couple of super chats before we finish. Sean, I'll let you go with this. Carvalho, bombed out. What's happening?
No idea. No idea. Thought it was poor against City, but I wouldn't be reading too much into it, to be honest with you.
He did it with Elliot for a while as well.
Yeah.
Look, the unfortunate thing about Harvey Elliott, and he's been talked an awful lot about the last couple of weeks as well, is he good enough? And where exactly does he fit in at the team? Thing is he shouldn't be in the team at this moment. He's only in the team because of the injuries that we have, etc. You should use sparingly, like Pep did with Foden. Stick him in, take him out. Stick him in, take him out, and then he will eventually find where his position in the squad. But he's been relied on for far too. Like I think he's up on. I think there was a list put up on Twitter yesterday. It was five players. There's only five players in our squad that haven't missed a game so far this season through injury. That's ridiculous. Like, but he should be being used sparingly, and he's not. He's been leaned on way too much. There's too much expected of him. He's still only 19. He's only 19, isn't he? Yeah. Still only 19. So is Carvalho. These boys, you shouldn't be expecting to see these week in, week out. So I think, but Klopp has done that with Elliot as well, where he's been in and then he's taken him away. And I don't even think he was in training a few times, but I'm not too concerned about Carvalho. He's a smashing footballer and he'll find his way and he'll eventually will get into the team. I just don't think that we have the players to play the way that Klopp wants to play the 4-3-3. It's been mentioned a few times. We talked about it in the summer, I think, when we were signing Nunes. He probably needs to change formation.
To suit
the players that we have, because Elliot isn't a centre midfielder. But he'd do well in a tree behind a striker. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If you had like either Fabinho and Thiago or Hendon and Fabinho in a two, so a 4-2-3-1. We need to play to our strengths now because we're lambs to the slaughter continuing to play the 4-3-3.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The reason that he looks, he doesn't do the defensive cover for Trent. So 4-2-3-1, if you have two central midfielders in there and they're spread out a bit, one goes right, one goes left, you have players dropping in. To me it just looked like we were going to do that when you're bringing in players like Carvalho, because again he doesn't look like he fits in anywhere in our team either in the 4-3-3, and it's just it's unfortunate for him and the young lads. But look, I think they've shown flashes of what they can do. It's a bad time for Carvalho to be coming into a Liverpool team. Like Nunes, they're not coming into the well-oiled machine that we're used to. They're coming into a broken blading team here at the moment where everything is wrong with it. So can't really put too much blame on them, the new lads, in my opinion. Super chat again. Emma, I'll let you look at this one. Might be a blessing in disguise not to get the top four spot doing Arsenal. What do you think? A year out of Champions League, good, bad?
No, you want to be at the top table. Like, we fought for so feckin' long to get back to the top table. Why would we want to do a year out of it? Look, what Arsenal have done is great. And this whole, I think the way we play, we need to be playing regular. So,
yeah,
in a weird way, you want to be in those competitions where, and I'm not even going to mention Europa League or Conference League because I think we're still getting top four. But I just think we're based on rhythm. We've always been based on rhythm, and we've lost our rhythm this season. So to be going playing Saturday, 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 no games in the middle, I think would probably only impact us badly. Back to something that Fran said there. Sorry, was Elliot not starting in midfield? Yeah, he was starting in midfield, but we had the before he got injured, we had the luxury of being able to pull him out of midfield. Like Foden will play a game or two, and they don't see him sparingly now, but when he was just into the City side, you see him for a run of two or three games, and then you wouldn't see him for four or five. And that's the way we should have been to treat Elliot. But unfortunately, he's been used way too much in terms of not getting the top four. No, wouldn't be a blessing in disguise. As much as news has come out about Bellingham, whether he'd be happy regardless of Champions League or not, doesn't make a difference. Or Gakpo didn't ask. I think Klopp said in his press conference the other day that we didn't even discuss Champions League football or anything like that. He was happy just to come, he said, which was refreshing because you do approach some players and they kind of they hang their hat on Champions League football. But I think top four for us is we struggled for long enough to get there. We need to stay there.
Shawnee, do you agree?
Yeah. It's never a good idea to be outside of the Champions League. It's literally we all had to look forward to now. I do think that the financial implications and all of that, and any other year, yeah, I'd understand that, but I think it's overstated now. I think the new UEFA rules, more or less guarantee, will be in it in 2024 anyway, the very least, because our coefficient is so strong. I seen a fucking mad stat the other day that Liverpool, the Champions League is like 30 years old.
Yeah.
And Liverpool have been in six finals, is it? Five finals?
Five.
05, 07. 17, 18, 18, 19,
and last year.
So, like, we've literally been in near 25% of the Champions League finals in the competition. Not European Cup, Champions League. Almost 25% of the finals we've been in, and that would show you how big the competition is for us. And it was really gave us the impetus to kick on as well and win Premier Leagues. And because you don't, like, Arsenal won't win the league this year. They won't. I'm telling you that now. But you can clip it up. They won't. They'll do well and you get back into the Champions League. I've no doubt about that. But it helps you to be playing them top games. To playing against top level opposition. I think you perform at a higher level. We need, I don't know what it can be fixed now. They can sign midfielders. I mean, you can get back in because I believe the league is poor this year. I don't think the standard is anywhere near as high, and that will be shown by, I think, the points total that's accumulated for winning this title will be the lowest in some time, and I imagine maybe Leicester went on to win it. It can be salvaged just about. But I don't want to be over. I don't think it's any blessing in disguise. Because who knows if we're stuck next year, we're not getting top players is because we're not in the Champions League.
Yeah.
And that'd be just an easy excuse to use.
And who gets in? You know, if you're looking at Arsenal, Man City, Man United, look like they're on the way back. And Newcastle, if Newcastle get in there with their money coming in and they're attracting, because they're going to be throwing loads of money, they'll have no problem then in the Champions League going and giving Enzo Fernandez release clause and paying the money and doing this and doing that. You're fighting against a behemoth then. And what you have to do is keep them out of it for as long as you can. You know, so missing out on it doesn't, it gets us back in, as you say, it gets us back in with the new system and all that, but you don't want to give them teams that leg up as well, so you want to keep them.
The only positive is I think the Europa League final's in Dublin in 2024, so
is it? Oh, there you go. We must look out for that. That could be
still our clouds and all that. Yeah.
100%. Look, lads, we'll leave it at that. It was a shitty match. We done our best. We didn't sugarcoat it. We said what we said. Wolves unlucky, you know. They were hard done by, maybe. Liverpool need to change things. They need to fix it. Again, before we go, if people can look at the charity drive, G4MO, Gaelic for Mothers and Others, any help you can give us with that, we appreciate it, as we always do. But look, just spread the word far and wide, and our sponsor for the show again, bookmakers.com. Gamble responsibly, but if you don't gamble, there's plenty of other stuff you can do to see stats and info on there for our players and teams. So have a look, see what you think, but you know, support if you can there as well. Shawnee, pleasure for having you tonight, as usual. Sunday night, no Gav, we've done our best.
Yeah, we missed the skipper tonight, but we got there in the end. You are more than requisite replacement, Keith.
That's it.
Brilliant job, well done, everyone in the chat. Fair play to you.
Yeah,
these are all great.
Emma, Sunday night, bit of cathartic reviewing of Liverpool. I always feel better after having a little chat about it. We done well.
Yeah, I got the text from Gav. Are you all right for tomorrow? Yeah, grand. Go and watch the Liverpool match, and they're kind of thinking, how the fuck do I get out of this? Yeah. And all day I've been like, oh god. But I have to say, as usual, chat has been absolutely hopping, and I'm glad I did it now. It's good, kind of. It's nearly like therapy, isn't it? You talk about it, and yeah, look, we go again next week. Brighton should be fun.
Oh fuck! I forgot we were playing them away as well. Oh no. Yeah. And we got them in the cup away. We managed to get through fucking Wolves. Disgusted. Look, the finish on a bum now there. That's a Sunday round. Listen, we've been the fatback for.
Normally, when you play them games, you win one, you lose one. So who knows? If we can get past Wolves,
yeah,
there might be something at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, an away game of Man City. Right, lads, it's been a pleasure. We've been the fatback for. We'll talk to you all again soon.
Social Podcast Network.